Well, hello, everyone. Welcome. This is, Embodying Prosperity Radio, and I am Marilyn O'Malley, and I help healing, creative, and highly sensitive entrepreneurs and professionals embody prosperity. And today, we are going to talk about how to ask for what you desire and how to receive what you ask for. And I'm just going to put everybody on lecture mode. And so if you have any questions, you can hit star 2 to raise your hand. And before I start, I just want to share a little bit about myself here and what I do and why I'm creating this radio station, why I'm creating these broadcasts for you. What I really look to do and that I feel called to do in the world is to transform limiting mindsets, all those, the ways that you think that are keeping you from living your true self, living your expanded, beautiful, brilliant, prosperous, healthy, vibrant, engaged, loving, and playful self out in the world. And as I help you transform those limiting mindsets, it liberates what I just talked about. It liberates all those true parts of yourself that have been suppressed, repressed, stuffed away, thinking that it's not possible to be you, not safe to be you. And this also helps to let your life purpose bubble up. It helps your passions come forward. It really is like as we transform these limiting mindsets, what I feel and get you in your body, which this is all about getting you in your body, because a lot of us are not, a lot of the healers and the creatives and the highly sensitives are not in their bodies because it's too painful for them. It doesn't feel comfortable. And so that makes it really hard to manifest. And as you join on these calls, I help you become more comfortable and see why it's necessary to come into your body. And we help to break through or release or transform any of those, any of the areas that are making it so that you don't want to be in your body. And then the other thing is, so after we transform those limiting mindsets and we liberate the true you, your purpose and your passions, then, and get you in your body, then you can manifest the prosperous and juicy life that you were born to live. And so that is why I'm here. That's my work. If you have any questions down the road or they come up during the week, feel free to email me at Coach Marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, the number 1, at gmail.com. Any of your questions that I can, I will share the answers on the next show or create a whole show around that. If you would like any personal coaching from me or find out more about me, you can go to www.marilynomalley.com. That's MarilynOmalley.com. And so let's get started here. So asking and receiving. So first of all, to ask for what you desire, to ask for what you want, you need to know what you desire. And I would say that majority of people don't know what they really are desiring any moment, and they're not even, I'm sorry to say, conscious that they're desiring something, because where most of our attentions go is to what we don't want. So we're anxious, we're worrying, we're fearful, because in front of us is we're saying, we don't want this. I don't want that to happen. How do I prevent that from happening? So all of your energy is around what you don't want, and that is coming from your programming, from your childhood programming, and your feelings of feeling unsafe. And I'm going to go through a little bit of that. So because one of the things that I do is I work on a lot of the programming that you have related to your chakra system. And your chakra system basically are energy centers that are, and I basically work with 7 energy centers. One's at the base of your spine, one's around your belly button, one is in your solar plexus, one's in your heart, one's in your throat, one's at your third eye or in the middle of your forehead, and one is the crown chakra at the top of your head. And as we grow and develop, these energy centers take on the energy around, and they're taking in energy and they're spewing out energy. And we have created vows growing up, and it usually starts around the first chakra. And what happens is the first chakra, not usually it does, the first chakra it then influences the second chakra, the third chakra, and the fourth chakra. And one of the first things I would have you look at is in this first chakra, it's all about safety, security, loyalty to your tribe, or else rebellion against a member of your tribe. Like, I will not be like my mother. I will not be like my father. I will not be like them. If a culture, your culture, your religion, something like that. But I find this is really important, and I'm going to for you to understand that your first inkling about everything that you look at in your life and everything that you think you want and that would keep you from going after what you want is that you don't feel safe or secure to do it, or it's not, it wouldn't be loyal to your family. So here are some vows around the first chakra. So I vow to always support my tribe. So if your tribe has rules, and like we don't, we work really hard for our money. Like it can't come easy to us. We have to work really hard for it. Or, you know, anything in your family that says, oh, we don't do that. We don't do that, you know, or keeping secrets. So you'll always do whatever you needed to do as an infant and child to feel part of your family and feel secure and feel like they're going to support you. So I vow to live the laws of my tribe. So whether that's part of the religion, or whether, again, it's your, and when I say tribe, we can interchange family there. My family comes first. So your family, you know, it's like you always take care of your family before you take care of yourself or anybody else. So before you meet anybody else's needs, then the family always comes first. I vow to reject everything of my family or my mother or my father or my culture. So if there's a part of you like so you are actually, you might be rejecting it, but that energy is actually attracting it into your life. And it's like, so you might be like, I'm not going to be anything like my mother around money. And, I'm not going to be frugal. I'm going to really, you know, give my kids what they want, et cetera, et cetera. And you you actually end up all of a sudden will go, oh my gosh, I'm just like my mother. Because you, what you resist persists. And so again, just I want you to just be curious and see how going back and to seeing like what were the rules of my family and how is that playing out in me making decisions about, number one, allowing myself to ask for what I desire. Also, looking at all the things that you're going that you don't want, was that the same thing, was that the same messages that were running through your family? Was your family always looking at fending off? Were they always in defense, you know, instead of offense? Were they always looking for, you know, we got to do this so this doesn't happen? I vow to never surpass anyone in my family. So that's financial. That could be successful. Like you, like maybe a daughter can't be smarter than a brother, than her brother or her father. Or there's a lot of us that can't make more money than our family mates. That's an underlying, like they suffered and, you know, we feel sad for them and they, you know, they did the best they could. How could we have a better life? We might feel guilty about that. Or you might be, you know, asking like, this is how much I want to, you know, I want to make 6 or 7 figures in my life, but my parents only made, you know, $55,000 a year and they supported 3 kids and they went without and they sacrificed. How could I celebrate and really have that? And it might be that you create that and then you create ways that it leaves you very quickly through bills or you can't save or, you know, there's a variety of ways that can happen and we won't discuss that. That's not on our agenda today, but I vow to never feel really deserving. Like because the family, it's like we don't deserve things. So we make this vow so we don't feel deserving. So then we don't feel the pain, like we deserve something but we're not getting it. See how that plays out? It's like if we can't get it in our family, then we might say, okay, I'm never going to deserve anything because I don't want to feel the lack of me having it. But that's painful. I vow to speak and live the truth of my family. So I vow to be this kind of person. That's what my family expects me to be because that makes me feel safe. So can you see, like, when you start to ask for things that you want, if it's not aligned with the vows and the beliefs that your family had or that you made and the beliefs and rules and that your family had, that it's going to feel uncomfortable. And this is where we need to start feeling comfortable asking for what we want and realizing that we are not our family and that our purpose is to come in and to surpass our family, to take our consciousness and our enlightenment to the next level of evolution. So I'm now going to share some of the second chakra and understand, so like all of this safety and vows now go to the our second chakra, and so that is influencing the choices there that we're making, and that is all about your feelings, your senses, your emotions, you know, how you connect into the world, and this is, you know, so your relationship to it, how do you feel about the world? How do you come into relationship with it and other people? This is where you let the world in and you feel how it flows in and through you. So do you allow yourself to feel what you don't want to feel? Do you allow yourself to feel others' feelings but not your own? Again, it goes back to, does it feel safe to have your own feelings? Does it feel secure? Do you feel like that was allowed for you? So that comes in, and like, what were the rules that were influencing you in your interaction with the world? And so, and going back to that first chakra for a minute, it's like, do you feel safe with people? You know, does it feel like humanity is safe, or do you feel like it's unsafe? Do you feel the world is safe, or is it unsafe? And then it's also how, so now we come into the second chakra, like, do you see possibilities and potential in the world? Like, is anything possible here? Can you relate, like, does it flow to you with infinite possibilities, or are there limitations? And again, it goes back to how can you feel being you and having desires and having needs. And so some of the vows in the second chakra would be, I vow to not be me, to hide who I am, because something happened that didn't make you feel safe to be you. And it might be whether you had an alcoholic family, or and you know, if you were you and you're goofing off or whatever, you might have gotten hit. Or people made fun of you or laughed at you and you didn't understand that you were entertaining, you thought they were making fun of you. I vow, here's the thing too, here's a really big point. If you have ever been abused, then you will say, you will vow to never be taken advantage of again. And here's the thing, is then you make everyone look like a predator to you. So you're always on guard. So here's one of the things in asking, right, for what you want. You don't trust people to give you what you desire. And so, there's this block as to what you can receive then. And then is there, if you receive it and you don't trust, you know, is there something connected to it? And so you don't want to be connected to anything. You don't want, because you feel like you won't have power, then you'll lose your power. I vow to never trust anyone, to hold people at arm's length. So how can you receive love if you're holding people at arm's length? How can you say I desire to be cherished and loved and supported, and yet you don't trust people and you hold them at arm's length? Or it can be the opposite, I trust everyone. And in trusting everyone, it gets really confusing. Then there's like no sort of boundary filters in there. And what do I want to say? There's no consciousness about, you're not trusting yourself. That's the thing. If you're trusting everyone, you're not using your own power to feel in and decide if something's good for you or not. You're giving away your power there. Here also, I vow I will never be needy. Because in the first chakra, if you got like, okay, I don't deserve things, or this family doesn't, you know, we don't have more than whatever, whatever your circumstances are. Or every time you asked for something, you need it, and you had a parent who couldn't give it to you, whether it was from a hug or, you know, a new pair of shoes to go to school, or it was food on the plate, or it was attention. If you weren't getting it, then a lot of us would turn and say, okay, so I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm not going to be needy. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do everything on my own. So here, again, so you stop the asking. You stop asking for help and for support and for what you want. And you think that, you don't need anything. And you just give, give, give. It's like a car running out of gas. And no wonder you always feel depleted. And you feel very alone and unattached, too, because, you're not a team player. You're very much on your own, and I'm going to pull all of this together in a minute, but I just want you to see how a lot of these are related. I vow to never feel my deepest needs or to not sound needy. I vow to not ask for help or sound like a victim. But here's the thing, when you say you're not going to ask for help or sound like a victim, then you are showing up like a victim because you don't feel empowered. You don't know your own power, and that's what I'm here to help you. I vow to not feel my feelings. So this is a large part where the highly sensitive and the creatives and the healers, this is why you're not in your body. And this is why you hang out and the upper chakras are up above your head and you're in this place. And to manifest, we need to get you down in the first, all the way down through all the chakras, down into that first chakra, second chakra, third chakra. And then the third chakra is, you know, all about the strength of character, our ego, our individuality. How do I identify with me? It's where our power and our energy is. And so, again, that first chakra and the second chakra feed into that third chakra. They influence it. So all that old programming is now moving up. And so, you know, if we don't see ourselves as empowered, if we don't see ourselves as able to ask for what we want, if we don't see ourselves in a place as that we can be who we have come here to be our individual, unique self, then we're not going to show up that way. We're going to make vows. I vow to be who I am, who I'm supposed to be. Back down to the loyalty of the tribe in the first chakra. I'm going to be who I've been conditioned to be. I'm going to be who they want me to be because that's safer, that feels more secure. You know, if I do something wrong, you know, it's like the tribe thing. It's not, I'm not the perfectionist part of us. I vow not to be seen and heard. You know, did you get that? You know, children are not to be seen and heard. So don't come to me unless you're dying. Don't come to me unless da-da-da-da-da, you know. And then if you did come to them, you might have gotten whacked or it might have been painful. So you just decided, I am going to be invisible so I don't have to suffer any of this. I vow to sacrifice, to serve. So here's the thing. I vow to not be me, and then I'm going to get my healers, listen to this, and I am going to get my ego from serving others. My ego is going to get fed. I'm going to see that I am needed. That way I'm a part of the community. I won't be abandoned. I'll feel safe. I'll feel good because I'm doing something that makes me feel good. I'll take care of others. And I'll take care of others in place of taking care of myself because they're more important to me than me. And that's also that becomes your identity. And that's wrong. You know, that's miscommunication. That's poor programming. That's the wrong mindset. And then, so what happens if you can't solve their problems? All of a sudden, there's stuff, now you don't feel good about yourself. You know, so all your identity is outside of you and not inside of you. All of your identity has to do whether you're good at solving other people's problems or, and then you're stuck in all their drama and blah, 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 you know, all, you get sucked in. I vow to live the truth that I am not as good as other people and I have to earn my worth by giving, sacrificing, and taking care of others. I vow to not make others feel bad about themselves by me being more than me. This is where a lot of us have trouble, and particularly I see women have trouble going out and, you know, celebrating themselves and shining their lights and saying life is good, that I see that shifting. I see that shifting a lot, and this is where I really want to help the healers, the creatives, that, you know, it's like there's the old paradigm about having to sacrifice and to give up, and that is no longer this paradigm. It's not healthy, and you cannot help other people heal if you are not doing your own work and healing yourself. You can't hold the space for that to happen. This is where, having to do with money, this is where people aren't charging enough, they're doing too much, they're giving away their services, they feel guilty when someone pays them, giving someone else credit for their ideas, not letting ourselves take credit for things, downplaying or underplaying our strengths, who we are. So again, these are really powerful. Can you see why it's hard for you to ask for what you really want or to even dream about what you desire? Because your focus has been external instead of internal. And so what I'm going to be asking you to do is to turn inward and start, you know, shifting through that stuff and getting the old programming out of the way, the old mindsets that are keeping you from making these new choices in your life, from creating this new, prosperous, happy, joy-filled mindset, successful mindset that is the life that you're really here to live. So the last one that I want to do right now is the fourth chakra around the heart, because this is where the perfectionist shows up. This is where we want to, this is where we're very critical on ourselves. And I want you to understand in that fourth chakra, every time you are critical of yourself, every time that you say you're not perfect and you're disappointing yourself, it's like stabbing yourself in the heart. The heart just constricts. It's like instead of having other people beat you up, you're beating yourself up. So I want you to become very conscious that perfectionism, and you might not even think that you're that much of a perfectionist, but perfectionism is a lot of, and it might just be a broad term, but it is a lot of what's running underneath your consciousness that is in the future or in the past. And it's either like in the future trying to head off, you know, like don't do something stupid and really over prepare here so that you're not going to be humiliated. You know, it's the ego, a lot of ego. It's all ego. And so that creates anxiety. And then there's fear from the past, looking at the past and thinking, oh, I made that mistake then. I can't do that. I can't ask for that because remember when I asked for something before, I got hit or I didn't get my needs met and it felt terrible and I don't want to feel that way anymore. So we want to watch that. Here's how you know when you're in that itch. You'll feel disappointed about yourself or you're highly critical. And so you've made this vow to be perfect and perfectly critical of yourself and disappointed in yourself when you are not perfect. I vow to never love myself unless I'm perfect. I don't deserve anything until I'm perfect. Doing it perfect, being perfect. Look at, we hold up. It's like, I can't make that much money being a healer because I don't know enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or, you know, it's like until. I used to, one of my things was I never knew enough. Oh, my God. I would never, finally when I got that, but it was like I would never, I love to learn. But it was like I always, like, had to learn the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. I was, like, never at the spot where I could relax and really own what I knew without thinking I had to do it better. I was always looking, how could you do it better? How can you tweak it better? How can you, you know, it's like this under, oh my God, it's like this underlying webbing. And when I really got to see it, I was like, oh my God, that's so exhausting. And it brings your energy down. And it is, you know, not you being you. So anyway, those are a few overviews of some of the vows, and I think hopefully gives you a clear picture of the things that can get in your way and get in your way of even thinking about dreaming. So one of the first things that you can do is, instead of focusing outward, is start to focus inward. And know that all those things that come up that say, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, and you, and we can't do that, and understand that is old programming. It is not you. It is, you know, your thoughts and your feelings, they are not you. What you decided as a child is not you today. Even though those vows and everything are there, you have to, as understanding that you get to make a new choice today, that you are powerful enough, that you, and in fact, all your power is in your choice, is in your consciousness of this is what I'm choosing today, this is what I desire. Understand those are old stories. Everything from the last moment all the way on, it's like, let's cut the cords, cut the stories. You do not have to be involved in them. Understand there will be tugs, and there are ways that you can transform that. And if you're interested, then come work with me, and I can help you do that more quickly than you can do it on your own. And but just understand, you don't even need to do that right now. Is you get to choose in this moment what's your new story? What do you desire versus what you don't want? And I want you to also understand, if you keep wanting stuff, really say desire or I'd like, or in the present moment, I have, because wanting creates more wanting. And so it's just like, this is what I desire. And we talked about, you know, one of the first call that I had, I talked about energy, and the reason I talked about it in the first call is because everything is energy. And your thoughts are energy. And understanding that to manifest, you need to ask. And that energy goes out into source or God or whatever you want, into the quantum field. And every time that you're thinking and you're creating impressions about that and imagining it, using your imagination, this is what I desire, this is what it feels like, and this is what would come of it. And you keep that, you hold that focus. It's like it's giving source and God and the quantum field an image that can then, and it has a vibration that can bring back to you all of the events or people or circumstances that are needed to get you into manifesting that. That can bring, help you manifest that into your world. And also holding that focus keeps your attention and keeps you awake and not going back into the old ways and the old patterns unconsciously. So then you're available to see it, to see and know that when something comes and is offered to you, like, well, here's the next step. Here's an opportunity for you that will move you closer. And that's one thing that you can keep asking is like, so show me the way. You ask, this is what I desire. Show me the way. And listen, your mind only knows the past. Your ego only knows the past. It doesn't know infinite possibility. Source and God just send it over. You're saying, this is what I want, and it can do things so much faster and know so much more than your mind. I mean, you really have to think. It's hysterical. If you I showed what the conscious and the subconscious can do. The subconscious mind is so much quicker and faster and connected to that source than our conscious mind. So really give it over and just keep your focus. this is what I desire. This is how it feels. And like imagine yourself having it, doing it, being it, whatever it is, and what joy it brings you, and how it influences others, you know, the bigger picture of it. And the purpose of it, the big why. And so you just keep your focus on that, and then keep your awareness, what shows up, who comes into the picture. And I want you to know, when you ask too for what you desire, the things that are the old programming will be triggered to show up so you can do the work around them, so you can let them go, so you can transform them, so you can understand that they don't serve you. They're not there to take you down. They're not there to undermine you. They're not there to remind you you're not good enough or you're not safe. Or no, they're there to remind you these are the all things that were keeping you from being able to ask for what you want and receive it, what you desire and receive it. So, and that's, the biggest thing is the your consciousness. And then the other thing is allowing yourself to receive. Because receiving, and that, I know that for me, you know, it was like, because I was one of those, I don't have any needs. I'm going to take care of everybody else. And, pretty much I felt on my own. And you know, I was very good at doing a lot of things. I never asked for help. Oh, my gosh. I look back now. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, I figured things out. And I was not going to look like a victim. And I would be, you know, was very efficient. And I was a great problem solver and, you know, helped all of these people. And that was my reality. That was my ego. That was what defined me. And when I got that, you know, what I'm sharing with you guys, how all of a sudden I could ask for help. And also, I didn't understand my connection to source at that time either. I hadn't spiritually grown. So I just, you know, was very much only connected in the reality of the material world. And so things felt, limited. And now I know they're not limited. And so once I started, you know, learning that and asking for what I desire, and even if I didn't get it, then I had to figure out, I'm learning all the things that are in my way that I'm sharing with you. You know, I've walked this path, and I continue to walk this path because there's layers, as you will too. But as I would say the simplest, where I started to receive, because that was a big thing for me, was just even receiving compliments. Like when somebody said, oh, you look good, I remember I used to, oh, thanks, and I would, put it out 10 times more towards the other person. I would deflect it. And I would say if you need a place to start with receiving compliments. And let the compliment come in and literally just like feel it enter your body. And don't give a compliment back. Just say thank you. Thank you. Because if you where you do things one way, you do it in all areas of your life. So, like, if you're, like, somebody wants to hug you and you don't feel you're deserving of it, but it's like, what if you can let them, let that love come in? So if it comes in a hug, let yourself, allow yourself to hug. You know, if you're not trusting people, you know, then need some work, and that might take some therapy. Or it might just take, really looking at, your ability to decipher between somebody that's going to hurt you and somebody that loves you. And also it's that, again, anytime we're pointing our finger out and saying, this is happening to me, turn that finger around and look at how that is you playing out the world. So it's like, do you trust yourself? And it starts to trust you, trust your decisions, trust your actions, trust your power, you know, and again, understand that, you know, as a little child and being abused, you were a child. You didn't have that power. You didn't have that. You probably didn't even have consciousness at certain points. You don't. Until your consciousness doesn't really come in until you're somewhere between 7 and 9 years old. You're just a sponge. You know, so having some empathy and compassion for that little girl and understand that that adult has incredible power. So does that little girl. Yes, and so the whole thing is about that you are powerful and be proactive. Be proactive in your life. Start making choices. Start realizing that that old programming, start hearing what's running in the background of your mind. Get coaching or help to help you move through your process more quickly. This does not have to be a long, drawn-out thing. I mean, it will be, you know, there is a process, and it depends on how fast you go. But, and you will be, you know, it's like an onion, layers and layers. But once you get, once you learn the basics and how you can do this for yourself the rest of your life, and it's, and get help, and you know, have somebody helping you with it along the way when you get in a major stuck, in a major point that feels very stuck and you can't do it for yourself. But can you see now and have compassion for yourself, like all the things that were, that have been? And I didn't even share everything. I just sort of shared the high points of a lot of things that that I see in people and in myself, or that I've experience that are running unconsciously, making these choices, keeping us from taking action, keeping us from really asking for what we desire, keeping us from receiving what it is that we even ask for. So main point, stop focusing on what you don't want in your life, because that whatever you focus on is what you will create. Become very conscious about focusing on what it is that you desire. So that will take time for you. And even if it's like ease and grace, I desire ease and grace, or peace of mind, or happiness, or joy, or love, you know, just focus on that. Just start somewhere. And it will, and keep holding that focus and watch what shows up and receive it. And you will start building that muscle for asking and receiving. You will start creating a reality where you can, and logically then go, oh, no, that's the old me. I know this works. This is what I had to do. I had to take one step at a time. I had to say, in those last moments, I was thinking what I don't want. In this moment, this is what I desire. And this is what I'm focusing on. And that's just the next step until the next information came in. And you just keep doing that throughout your day. You will build this muscle up. Okay, so I'm going to see if anybody has any questions. If you want on the chat, you can go in and write some questions. If you're on the phone line, you can hit star 2 and raise your hand. Okay. Okay. Hillary?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Great show.
Thanks. You have a question?
Yeah. Well, I have a couple things, but first of all, what was the first thing? This might be hard to remember, but I'm kind of curious. What was like the first thing that came up for you when you stopped focusing on what you didn't want? Did you have like one thing that just kind of came on, like a light went on, like, this is what I want? Do you have any, like, ballpark idea, like, what came up for you? Was it anything, like, small or big? Or...
You know what? You know, I guess hell is when I I've always had an idea in the back of me that I had something big to do in the world. And that sort of, I wanted to be, you know what, I guess, you know, part of me is like, I can't, I'm sure I wanted a lot of things, would say. You know, I wanted to feel good. I guess that would probably be, I want to feel good about me. I wanted to feel, and safe, you know. I think I wanted to feel safe, and I wanted to feel good about me and not feel bad about me. Because I did. I did not think, because of being a highly sensitive, I felt very shy. I felt like I was weak. Also weak because I was a woman or a female, and the women in my family to me appeared to be weak. And so I felt that it did a disadvantage of that. I wanted, and powerful. That's been on my mind since third grade. I've always been interested in how do you be powerful? Where does the power come from? And so I was looking externally for it. And what I'm sharing today is I was looking for all my power outside of me. And that was probably, that power is for me to feel good about myself and feel like I can have the things that I want and that I could be safe, right? I wanted to be like a guy so they wouldn't have to worry about some predator, you know, coming in and sweeping up my skirt while I was walking into school, or, you know, some father that I'm babysitting their kids coming in before the wife and trying to get me to feel them or something, you know? It's like, I don't want to feel that way. And I wanted to feel like I could, be safe and it was all right and to be me and that I could be happy. I think that's been my whole life. Thanks for asking that great question. Gosh.
I have a visualization of you in elementary school. For some reason, like playing tetherball. Do you remember playing tetherball?
Yeah.
And I remember you like being really powerful, and I remember you having a powerful voice and hitting the ball like you were like you did. You kind of hit it like a man or a boy. And then I remember you playing volleyball in college, or I don't know if it was high school. I think it was college.
College,
and, you were really into it then, too. Like, you were like, and you were playing at the beach and just, like, playing with, you know, men. And I saw you as, like, kind of, sort of masculine. So that's why I was curious about what you wanted when you stopped focusing on what you didn't want.
Yeah. Well, and the only power that I saw represented to me was men. And I loved, you know, I was a tomboy, and so I loved sports and moving and being in my body. And so that was like, that was a great outlet. And it's also, as a highly sensitive, it's like really grounding and good for us to be in our body and play sports. And it's funny as you're saying that too, because I always wanted to play with the boys. It wasn't just I was going to play with the girls. I was playing with the boys. And so I had to be good enough to play with the boys. So I love mastery, and so it was always like learning and practicing and to be good enough to, play with them. But, still I was very unconscious then, you know. I mean, there was consciously moving sort of towards power, but all my programming, all my fears and all that stuff was like I had to be like something. I couldn't compete with the girls or the women. In a certain way, because I didn't necessarily respect femininity then, which I do now.
Spent so much time with Nancy Howard.
Yeah.
So you did have a female confidant.
Yeah, but we were like, it wasn't that I wasn't without that, but it was I related more to the boys than I did to the girls. I thought a lot of the girls were frivolous and wasting their time sitting around talking, like, let's go do something instead of, you know, playing with our hair and, you know, talking about underwear or something. It was like, that is not what I'm interested in. But, and there was other, there were other girls that were like that too, in a sense. But, you know, my thing was coming more from, I am rebelling against, you know, my family, in a sense. And,
Did you ever get to a point where you felt like, even, you know, before you started doing work later on in your life, did you ever feel like a point in, like, elementary, junior high where it wasn't working, you know, like that trying to compete with the men was sort of counterproductive, or the boys?
Well, then it became more about, you know, being desired.
Oh, you know? I see. Oh, okay, I see. Oh, I see. Oh,
you know, but still didn't play in, you know, but still was much more of the masculine than I was with the feminine. So it wasn't about, you know, I was wanting to be, you know, desired like the other girls, but I wasn't going to
give in.
or you know, dress the part, acted. I felt like it was acting, or, you know, I wasn't about playing coy and stuff, although I probably was, you know. You know, it's just like you're wanting to fit, again, it's like wanting to fit into the whole tribe, to the guys and the girls, you know.
Yeah.
To be accepted, to be loved, you know, to feel that there's, you know, that there's nothing wrong with me, because we're comparing each other. Oh, she has better clothes than me, or she looks prettier, or, you know, I went through weight problem, you know, 1 year I'm fat, 1 year I was, you know, healthy, and I would, you know, there was just, you know, different things about feeling good, and, you know, and even at that time I was taking care of people, you know, that was my identity. I remember doing one guy's, a guy friend's chemistry homework. I was good in science, and I was like, oh, I'll do it for you. It was like, how can I be friends? Or, yeah, I'll take care of you, you know, in different ways.
I have a couple other comments, but I don't want to take up all the time. So if anybody else wants to talk or ask, go ahead. But I made a couple notes.
Let me see. So anybody on chat want to share? On anybody else? Nobody else is raising their hand, Hill.
Okay. One thing I did, instead of really taking many notes this time while you did your show, your lecture, I just listened as much as I could. And I got a couple things that came up, because I've never done this type of vowel work. And one thing I remember when I was growing up, because in our family, you know, there were 6 girls and 1 boy, so, you know, there was no problem with our mother having power, you know, and being a powerful figure in the family. So, you know, we got that women can have power. but our mom said, you know, I asked her about this liberation thing, you know, like, Mom, what is this, you know, about women's liberation and everything? And she said, you know, women can get whatever they want, and they can have whatever they want. But as far as in the, you know, the workforce, she said, I believe it's okay for men to make more, because they kind of have to, because, you know, they're supporting family. So, you know, she was just sort of neutral, like, that it's okay for men to make more, but it also doesn't mean that you as a woman can't make as much as you want and do whatever you want. So it kind of gave me mixed feelings about, you know, money and income and everything, because, you know, she was just staying real neutral there.
Mm-hmm. So you have to take a look at your beliefs around money and your ability to make what it is that you want to make.
Yeah, and also, like,
and being able to ask for it too.
Yeah, and I remember we only got allowance, you know, for a short time because I think we all realized that, you know, we needed to make some of our own money if we needed to have spending money. So, of course, we all started babysitting. But I remember one of the last times I asked for allowance, and I don't even remember how old I was, pretty young, and our dad, he kissed the money goodbye. And I thought, oh, I never want to ask him again. You know, it's like, you know, he was kissing his bottom. He was doing it like for a joke, but at the same time, it was like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like, you know, this doesn't grow on trees, you know, and that's, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Like,
so
he,
that,
you know,
and so, yeah, so there's some definitely, like, look at that and what did you make up about that? Like, you're taking, are you taking money from other people and you don't want to take money, other people's money because, you know, they care, they love it.
Yeah, yeah, and we kind of had a family joke, like, you know, if you don't eat what's given to you, what about all the starving
right.
children in China, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, see, I think, you know, the thing is here, and I think the point that, you know, it might not be that you're bringing up, but that I'm getting from you asking or sharing your information is for us to all see there's all these subtle things that were said to us and might have been said to us jokingly, but that we take literally. And I would have to, and I want to share this with the highly sensitive too. We take stuff very literally and deeply. And I remember an example is my grandmother said to me when I was young, very young, like probably four, don't come to me, you know, go out and play in the yard, don't come bother me unless you're dying. Well, if
yeah.
I had any need, I would not go to her because to me it meant if I went to her to ask for anything, then I was dying, literally. Like that would be
yeah.
the case. And I remember I had the mumps, but I didn't know I had the mumps. And I just noticed, like, I would be talking, and then all of a sudden my voice would cut out. And so I would count how many words I could talk before the voice went out. And so I would always just make it. It kept going shorter and shorter and shorter. And then one day we were out eating dinner out or something, and I think I passed out. And that's when doctors would come to the home, and they'd go into the home and said I had the mumps. But, like, I would not share with them. And I had I would get anxious every time I would get sick into my 40s until I rediscovered this, thinking that I was going to die if I got sick. And, you know, so I had to reprogram that. And I also remember my mother, when my parents divorced when I was 4 years old, and my grandmother saying to me, because nobody told me where my dad went, but my grandmother saying to me, you better be a good girl so you don't lose your mother. Well, here comes the loyalty of taking care. So who became mom's mom? Me. You know, because I was going to do everything to feel safe and secure and not lose her. So forget who I was, forget my needs, forget me wanting to go out and play and have fun and, you know, be happy. I was going to do whatever was needed for me, you know, when there were times that to make sure that she was all right and, you know, taking care of my brother and sister and feeling responsible for them. So in some ways I became the father of the household other than earning a living. But I just want to share with people, this is like, look at your past and the ideas and situations that have come up and that are as a child. And then you have to understand all of those things, all those decisions and beliefs pile onto each other. So if there's related things around health or around money or around relationships or around your self-worth and your whether you're good enough, et cetera, all of those clump together and compound and sort of create this mushy idea that a child would make up, you know, and that is what's driving your life now. So
mm-hmm.
thanks, Hillary, for all the discussions. I've got it. Time is up. And
okay.
I appreciate you asking perfect questions to help everybody else and or comment. And so thank you, everybody. And if you have any questions, please email me at Coach Marilyn, that's CoachMarilyn, the number 1, at gmail.com. And you can comments or questions, you can go there, or you can also find me on Facebook under Coach Marilyn, and or visit my website, and that is www.MarilynO'Malley, MarilynO'Malley.com, and you can sign up to get notices for the newsletter and for this radio show. And thank you so much. And if anybody would like a discovery session to see whether working with me, what that would look like, and experience some transformation, liberation, and manifestation, please contact me also. Thank you so much. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.